Well, good afternoon, everybody. It is Friday, what, September 17th?
Something like that.
Something like that.
Well, not quite.
It's Friday. That's yet. At least. That's at least it's Friday.
How late were you up last night?
Oh, I think it was like till 3 a.m., but...
Ooh. I still have a hard time saying best forking sports arena.
Yes, welcome to our sports show. It is Deeks Presents the BFSA, the best forking sports arena.
Well, you might as well start off with that ad.
We got to give our sponsors a shout out. We got Bubble Laundry Company. Bubble Laundry of Grand Forks is a proud sponsor of this show. Bubble Laundry has just replaced all their machines, including four 80-pound washers that are the only ones in town. They also have added mobile pay range, so no more quarters. Personal and commercial drop-off laundry available as well. The hours for drop-off services and attendant hours are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., Friday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m., and self-service hours are 5:30 a.m. till midnight, 7 days a week, with the last wash starting actually ending at 10:45. That's Bubble Laundry Company, located at 1401 12th Avenue South, Grand Forks, or by calling 701-800-3084. Or search them on the web at bubblelaundryco.com. That's Bubble Laundry of Grand Forks. Well, we have a lot to talk about today.
Well, lots of baseball, lots of football, college football, pro football.
Hockey, baseball.
Potatoes.
Basketball potatoes, players wearing dresses.
where would she kick this off, Monty?
Well, I want to get the baseball out of the way. In the baseball, you know, we've got the division winners. Well, they're not winners except for San Francisco. They clinched their spot. But the division front runners are way out ahead of most of the second and third place teams. So all of the real running or playoff picture is the wild card. And being a big Yankee fan, I got to watch my Yankees lose a 2-1 lead in the ninth inning, go into the 10th inning and get beat by the lowly Baltimore Orioles. So now they're they slid behind the Red Sox and the Toronto Blue Jays for the two wild card spots. So the Red Sox and Toronto Blue Jays, and the Blue Jays came out of nowhere. They just came storming back into the picture. And in that case, the front runner, Tampa Bay, has been untouchable. Just, nobody can gain any ground on that team. And much like the same thing, well, San Francisco and the Dodgers in the National League West, the Dodgers are like the second best team in all of baseball, but they can't catch San Francisco.
Right.
The Boston Braves, that's how old I am. The Atlanta Braves have a significant lead in their division. The Chicago White Sox have a significant lead in their division. As I say, the division leaders are far and away ahead of everybody, and it's up to those wild card races to fight their way into it. And in both leagues, it's really competitive. The National League, it's the Padres, the Reds, the Dodgers, and there's one other one, but that's where they're at. I just wanted to get the baseball out of the way. What do you think, Steve?
Well, I'm probably going to be quitting watching baseball now since my Twins are way out. Left field like Blair Walsh.
Well, the Twins have been a seller since July, and that means selling their players off. And you know, once they start doing that, you know, they give up the ghost. It's that's what they do.
Hey, I tell you what though, that pitcher from the Olympic team that was all part of the big trade when we got rid of our home run hitter. Man, that guy is on fire. I was watching him the other night. He was mowing him down again, and then he took that liner right to the throwing hand. But it sounds like he's okay. But right now, he's about the best thing that I've seen on the Twins the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, they did get a good trade out of that, but I'm still disappointed with my Twins.
Yeah, well.
Well, you know, I watched some of the Twins games, and I'm a Twins fan also, but, you know, they put so little money into that team that it's hard to come into the all rah-rah each season because it's like also-rans before you know it. And they're 18 games out, and it's like May.
I feel sorry for Rocco because I really think he's a good coach. I do. I mean, yeah, he's young and all that stuff, but look what he's had to deal with this year.
Well and they've had injuries.
That's what I mean, injuries, and then you trade off your best players. But the injuries are every year, it seems like, with the Twins. I mean, we got guys that are supposed to be so good, but they're on the IR all damn year.
Well, and then any sport, though, you know, you
start, yeah, but I mean, look at Byron Buxton.
Well, yeah, Buxton, it just, you know, just came back.
You can't and have any worse luck than he's had.
And purportedly your best athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're missing him for most of the season, yeah, you're going nowhere.
Yeah.
And he's an untouchable on that team for sure.
Yeah, you come back from one injury and then you break your arm by getting hit by a pitch and then you're out again for 6 weeks. And it seems like that's the story of Byron Buxton.
Yeah, he's had a tough time staying healthy most of his career. You know, and he was, like I say, one of the untouchables for the Twins. And another one was that Barrios, the pitcher they shipped off. And Sano, you know, that guy, I actually like the way he plays most of the time. But the guy is swinging at balls that are like in the stands. I mean, he's a strikeout. It's either a home run or nine strikeouts. Mm-hmm. That's what you got.
Did you by any chance catch that? I think it was the Twins and the Yankees the other day. Twins were up, and the umpire was probably one of the worst umpires I've ever seen. This game was in New York, and then you find out the umpire is from Minnesota. Come on.
Well, and you know, that game early on was 5-0 Minnesota up on the Yankees, and Bill Deutsch was sending me text messages going, hey, how do you like that Twins game today? How do you like that Twins game? I said, I don't. And then later on, you know, as the Yankees come back, I'm sending messages over to him. How do you like that Twins game today, Bill?
I didn't even notice you're even wearing a Yankees shirt. My goodness.
It may be a short-lived season now. It wasn't that long ago. They had a four-game lead on this wild card position, and now they're a half game out. So they went off that 13-game win streak, the longest winning streak in Yankee history since 1961. Then they followed it right up with a 7-game losing streak. I just don't know how that happens.
It's called baseball.
I just heard about that pitcher. I think he's on the Angels, Ohtani or whatever. He just got injured. He won't be pitching for a while.
Well, his arm is sore, and so they're not going to pitch him, but the guy has got how many strikeouts and how many home runs, and nobody's ever done that in the history of Major League Baseball. And this guy, I mean, that dude is an animal. But you know, it's just going to be a matter of time before the body starts to wear down, because pitching and hitting, I mean, the guy dives, he slides head first, he plays the game 150%. It doesn't matter what position he's playing, but, you know, that's got to be a lot on a guy, pitching and playing.
Well, yeah, he was supposed to pitch today, and he's not pitching against the Oakland A's because of arm soreness. And that's a catch-all phrase in baseball, arm soreness. You don't know if that's something that's going to require some surgery or just a little bit of icing for a few days. But, yeah, playing both position and pitcher, that's unheard of.
Yeah, this isn't the 1930s.
I mean, I would probably just stick to one position if I had to instead of playing both sides.
Well, I mean, I could see if there's an incentive and a pay raise, okay, if you know, you're going to make this much if you pitch, you're going to make this much if you play the field and bat, but I just don't get what the thing is, because, I mean, obviously he's an awesome player, but I don't know how much money he's making, but it should be a lot. When you look at his stats and his numbers, I mean, holy smokes, he's the second most home runs, I think, in the majors this year. I believe, what was the stat I was looking at? Was it 100 strikeouts or 500 strikeouts in a year plus 40 home runs? It's never been done, but yeah, the guy's incredible.
Well, I'm guessing it's probably somewhere like between 200 and 300 strikeouts, because that would put you with the elite pitchers.
Right, right.
And then the home run amounts for sure. So he's a slugger and a drop dead pitcher, and it's just unheard of, really. And on top of it, he's Japanese, is it? Asian anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know which country he hails from. Is it Philippines or Japan or where it is? Got any idea over there, Dale?
No, guest Dale on the show.
Yeah.
So any insight onto the baseball, or you follow this stuff?
I follow the Twins. Yeah. But just casually, not like super intensely as I, up until a few years ago I was. Like the Twins, but yeah, I was glad to see Byron Buxton back finally after him being out for a while. And I'm with you on Sano. And it's like a lot of strikeouts over a homer.
Well, you know, and he had that 495 foot bomb here a couple of weeks ago. And I mean, when a guy crushes the ball like that, you got to like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think he just got a homer on Wednesday, I want to say. I thought I was trying to keep up with how many homers he had. I want to say he's like up to 28 or right around there, give or take a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the league leaders. A couple other things in baseball. Salvador Perez for the Kansas City Royals hit his 45th home run. Most home runs by a catcher in Major League Baseball history, tying him with Johnny Bench.
Johnny Bench.
1970 Cincinnati Reds. You know, Johnny Bench, that's the benchmark of
it is.
Of catchers next to Yogi Berra, those two guys.
What about Butch Weiniger? Hey, if you're going to talk about home runs and winning home runs, and we never give any love to Fargo because they don't deserve it, but the Red Hawks, I don't know if you guys saw that game last night. I believe it was a walk-off grand slam, but the Red Hawks did win. They continue to play, and I think they are the North Division champions now, but it was winner go home, or winner go on, loser go home last night, and the Red Hawks pulled it off, so... Congratulations to them. That's all I'm going to say about Fargo.
Nice. I always love catching up on those Red Hawks games. The last two, I mean, Dale have been to a couple of them, and, you know, they would be losing, and then we'd be like, okay, let's go home, and then, like, all of a sudden they'd catch up, and then, bam, at the end of the game, it's just, like, nothing. Like, you can just watch. Like, they just come back. Like, it's, I don't know what it is with those Fargo teams. Like, it's the Red Hawks and then, like, the Fargo Forest teams. Like, we went to one, and they were losing, I think, what, like, 2-1, and they tied it up in the third period and went into overtime. Within, like, 1 second of the game was done. Like, Fargo scored. It was just, it's just intense with watching those games.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Red Hawks. I think that's a good value for your money to go down there and sit in and have a hot dog and watch baseball. And usually they're in contention. They're not like a bottom dweller like some of the teams. I used to get into like when they'd play the Winnipeg Goldeneyes.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what do you think? You saw a couple games down there, Dale?
Yeah, I always try and catch a couple Red Hawks and a couple Forest games a year. Yeah, it's just a great stadium, not too big, not too small. Pretty much anywhere you sit's good, and yeah, good bang for your buck over there with concessions and just seat pricing in general. Always have a great time at the Red Hawks. Yeah,
yeah. And what I like about these independent leagues is they always do so much fun stuff. They're fan friendly. You know, I know the Red Hawks had fireworks numerous times this year, and they always got stuff going on in the grandstands, and it's just a lot of fun going to those games. You know, my son played for the Red Hawks. I never did get to see a single game because they traded him right away. But, yeah, he did a couple of stints with those guys. We were going to try to get him in here today, but he couldn't make it. So I love watching the Red Hawks.
Well, yeah, we'd like to get Alex in here because we know he's got that in-depth sports knowledge, that baseball knowledge especially. I'd like to talk about that. A couple of unique things happened also in Major League Baseball this week. The Yankees and Orioles, did you happen to see the umpire kick the grounds crew off the field?
No.
Well, it was in the ninth inning. Yankees had runners at second and third, and it was starting to sprinkle. And the grounds crew started to roll out the tarp partially, and they were standing on the field, and the ump came out and threw them off.
Let's get this thing done.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. He wanted to finish the game, and they were like looking to roll the tarps out, and he threw them out of there. The other thing was umpire Junior Valentine, shortstop for the Cardinals, Edmundo Sosa, beamed him in the side of the head. He fielded the ball at shortstop and threw it over to first and way wild. Just took the umpire out with it. Did you happen to see that, Smalls?
I did not get to see that game.
Well, he went down pretty quickly. It was.
I'll have to look it up, see the highlights.
Oh, yeah, I dropped him like you were deer hunting. And I do want to mention this. It's completely way off tilt here what we're talking about. But before I forget, you guys, I know you don't talk much about racing.
We kind of leave that up to you, John.
I consider it a sport, but I just wanted to give a shout out to AJ Demo winning his third John Seitz Memorial race last week. 3 days worth of racing at the River City Speedway, and the guy just dominated everybody. But there, I got that out of the way. Congratulations, AJ Demo.
Oh, we will talk about racing on this show, but we kind of leave that for Dirty Thursdays for John.
Well, we know he's going to cover it. Well, let's see. We got Big Potato Bowl weekend with the University of North Dakota hosting Drake University.
Before we get into that, I do have one more baseball thing. Oh. Milwaukee Brewer Ryan Braun retired after 14 years with Milwaukee Brewers.
So at the end of the season?
Yep, at the end of the season, he is retiring.
Wow.
Now, wasn't he like a home run champion or basically MVP candidate?
Yes, basically an all-star candidate.
But had some PED problems in his career a couple times,
Couple times.
Yeah, he got in a little trouble.
You recall, Dale? What's
this? No, no, not familiar with that, no.
If you don't know what PED is, performance...
Enhancing drugs. Not to be confused with doing acid like Doc Ellis for the Pirates back in the early 70s, throwing a no-no.
Or Daryl Strawberry.
Strawberry, he could put a gram up each nostril, I think.
He liked that booger sugar.
Yeah. Yeah, just he gets them in cubes.
Whoa.
Yeah, going back to it is Potato Bowl weekend.
Yeah, so
tomorrow,
and you know, UND's coming off a loss at Utah State against a FBS school, and you know they jumped out to a 21-7 lead.
Yeah, they looked great that first half,
and then they only managed a field goal in the second half. The speed and size of their receivers took over in that game, and then a little bit of the size disadvantage on both lines, but they held their own. I mean. That game was closer than 42-24. If you know.
I agree.
And you know, University of North Dakota going out to first Idaho State and getting a win, and then Utah State, like I said, an FBS school, and losing to them is not going to hurt them in the standings for down the road. Versus that egg school down south, coming off those two powder puff games, you know, Albany State, Great Danes, and Valparaiso, a non-scholarship. A bad non-scholarship. Cool. Yeah, exactly. And my friends from down there were telling me, well, it's because they can't get anybody to come in early to play them. But if the money's right, anybody will come.
Anybody will. And the Bison have the money. And it got me a couple of things. First off, with UND, Bubba Schweigert's birthday, I believe, was yesterday. So Bubba's going to get himself a birthday present this weekend, tomorrow. I watched the first half of that NDSU game. And what I can't figure out is they were up like 40-something nothing with about a minute and a half left to go in the first half. I only watched the first half. And then they went to a no-huddle offense. Like, okay, 40-some points isn't enough for halftime? I mean, come on. You still need to show a little bit of respect. I mean, these guys made the trip up, the play in the Fargo Dome. You know what? Don't make them feel like a bunch of idiots. Show a little respect. There was, in my opinion, I mean, it's great to whoop up on a team. It's not like they're a big rivalry or anything. Well,
especially when you're like one of the most scholarshiped FCS schools in the country, if not the most.
Yep.
And then you're playing a non-scholarship school that, you know, these guys are, yeah, their main objective isn't trying to get to the NFL and win national championships. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get an education.
Yes.
And so you're going to run up the score on these guys? I don't agree with that at all.
Well, one thing I am going to say about NDSU, and this is what I've always said, and I will continue to say, they are only as good as their quarterback.
Well, it's been like that for years, I think.
Yep.
So Monday Night Football.
That was a game.
Quite a game last night. I didn't get to watch it. I saw the highlights. You had a Taylor Heinicke, the quarterback for the Washington.
He used to be a former Viking.
Yeah.
Yeah, Taylor Heinicke came back. He had an interception towards the end of the game. Like, not the end of the game, but like towards the fourth quarter. Came back and won that game and with a field goal.
Yeah, did you see that field goal? Yes. Man, it looked like it was going to go wide right, and it just snuck in just a little bit to make it good.
It was nice.
Well, and they had to kick it twice.
Because there was a penalty.
There was an offside penalty, and boy, I don't know if you see, I saw that replay, and it looked an awful lot like the defensive lineman was coming across about the same time the ball was.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that penalty called after he missed the kick, you know, you have to wonder.
I'm wondering if the guy still has a job today, actually.
Yeah, the lineman that came across, sure, because that cost the game, right?
It did. It cost him the game.
And it wasn't like a timeout for the kick. We're talking about this game last night and what a thriller that was, and so was the Thursday night before, and we've had some great ones. That was the Tampa Bay-Dallas game. Yeah. And Smalls, you were talking about, you want to talk about the...
Well, not yet. Not yet? We'll still talk about Washington before we get to Green Bay Packers. Tyler Heinicke was replaced Ryan Fitzpatrick because Ryan Fitzpatrick had a hip injury last week. So he came in, second start. He is a starter for the Washington football team. But my thoughts is Ron Rivera is the Washington coach. maybe Cam Newton coming to Washington.
We were going to talk about an NBA player wearing a dress, and now you're talking about a quarterback that's wearing dresses. I mean, that's kind of the thing that puts me off about Cam Newton is that obviously the guy had a ton of talent or has a ton of talent, but I just think he's got interests elsewhere.
Yes. And I can't say nothing more about Cam Newton. I'm just saying I'm thinking he might be have a potential job in Washington.
Well, one thing was that Heinicke was 34 of 46 passing, so 336 mm-hmm. yards in passing yards. And then that 19-yard touchdown to the Ricky Seal Jones in the corner.
Yes, yes.
There couldn't have been a more perfect pass and a better tap down of 2 feet mm-hmm. than any receiver in the league. Dale, did you happen to see that game?
No, the only ones I kept up with were that had a chance to keep up with were the Vikes and Niners games last weekend. Yeah.
Okay, so speaking of the Vikes, you got any thoughts on that game?
Yeah, that was a heartbreaker in overtime. Yeah, that was yeah. Oh man.
And you know our quarterback had great numbers that game. You know everybody dogs the Vikings quarterback. Year in and year out, he's always been ranked as one of the top five quarterbacks as far as their quarterback ratings and their numbers and all of that stuff. And I believe he was fourth or fifth after week one. So he had a good game. You know, the Vikings have always been known for their defense. And, oh, boy, their defense, I still think, needs some help.
Well, my issue was that first half because they had so many penalties, at least nine. But of their first eight plays, and exactly their first play from scrimmage for the year was a motion or mm-hmm. offensive procedure call. And in their first eight plays from scrimmage, four of them were procedure calls.
Yeah.
That can't happen.
But didn't they have like 15 penalties total in the game?
It was double digits. And you're just not going to win games doing that.
There's NFL teams that don't have 15 penalties in four games.
Well, yes. And you're talking about, you know, all the things that happened in the second half of that game. But really, when you piss away the first half, mm-hmm. you know, that's going to bite you somewhere along the line.
Yep.
And you're just, what are you going to do?
Didn't the Vikes have more offensive yards than the Bengals, I think, in that one? But the penalties just bit them a little too much in the end there?
Well, you get over 100 yards in penalties. Mm-hmm. You know.
Mm-hmm. The only good news is I think every team in the conference lost.
Yes.
Yeah, they're 0-1.
I mean, we can be like whatever the East Coast was there last year, seven wins and get into the playoffs.
That's the only thing. Awful.
Yeah. I mean, so that's the only thing we can look forward to. And the Vikes are going to shake it off. I don't even know who they play in this weekend. But
I think they play the Cardinals.
Yeah. Well, they might have their work cut out for them, but I think they'll get them.
But like everybody always talks crap about Kirk Cousins and how horrible it is. Even all the Vikings fans don't want him. It's not, I've been saying this all the time, it's not Kirk Cousins.
Nope.
It's the offensive line. That offensive line needs to just be dominant.
Well, mm-hmm. And you know, because we all know Kirk Cousins is not a scrambling running quarterback. You know, he's not Cam Newton. He's not Robert Griffith III or any of those
even
guys.
Russell Wilson. Like.
Yeah, he's a guy that needs a pocket
protection.
He's
3 seconds back there.
And he doesn't get that most of the time.
No. Nope.
And, you know, with the receivers he's got, and they have, well, now you're talking about offensive lines, and we had the Vikings lost a couple of all-timers for their team this year in the past. Mick Tinglehoff passed away last week, and then Steve Riley passed away, mm-hmm. and he and Mick Tinglehoff played together on the last Super Bowl team, the 1975-76 team. A really great offensive lineman. He doesn't get nearly the recognition that Mick Tinglehoff or Ron Yeary or any mm-hmm. of those previous guys. But Steve Riley was a solid guy for 11 seasons.
I still remember always holding number 73 offense, Ron Yeary.
But he was all pro just about every year.
I know that.
You have to wonder. What
you know, I wonder what the Vikings could do. Have you seen the Minnesota Gophers offensive line? They average like 340 pounds. They got this one dude, I think he's from Australia. He's like 6'9 and 380, and the dude, nobody gets by him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if the college guys can find these big, strong guys, why can't the NFL? Why can't the Vikings?
Well, and while we're talking NFL, I know Steve over here is a Tennessee Titans fan, and they got this loaded offense, but what the heck?
I don't know. You know what messed up that game was Julio Jones' penalty.
Was it a good game? I mean,
no, we got our butts whooped.
That's what I thought.
It was just
you got top tier receivers, top tier quarterback, top tier running back, and they just got smoked.
I think the best game I watched that week, or there was two games, or no, I'm just gonna go with one. It was the Chiefs versus the Browns. That was like almost overtime game there, but the Chiefs came back and won that game.
Yeah, that one surprised me. I was surprised it was it like 31-28.
Yeah, it was like a back and forth game.
And you know, Kansas City and their golden boy at quarterback. I would have never thought they were going to get a game that close. How about you, did you see it, Dale, or scores or anything like that?
No, I kept up the Niners and Lions there, and then Niners have always been my team. I like the Vikings too, but like when I was young, I had no concept of what a home team was. I was too young to realize it, but yeah, it's well, like you said, made it so NFC North had all losses, so it was pretty much like a wash, still like a fresh way to kick off this week two, so it's like a fresh start. So looking forward to that.
For sure. I thought for a second you were going to say you were a Lions fan, and I was like, I don't know if anybody exists.
I used to like Stafford.
Speaking of Stafford, I saw that Sunday night football game against the Bears. He did a really good job. For his debut as a Ram, wow, like he played really good.
I think he's a great quarterback. I really do.
I think he found a good team.
He's just a good quarterback on a crappy team for a lot of years.
Well, you don't want, for sure. I mean, he was the one thing holding any semblance of respectability in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's you look back at that Detroit squad and Fonts was the coach. Fonts. When Wayne Fonts was in, and Matt Fonts from town here is mm-hmm. related to him.
Oh, okay.
But Wayne Fonts was like something like 5 out of 8 years he took them to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Something like that. And I mean, they haven't had a coach like that since or before.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's a team that hasn't won like a playoff game in like 4 or 5 decades.
Hey, how about speaking of the NFL? How about William H. Macy? I mean, Aaron Rodgers.
I can't wait.
Some of his former teammates are calling him out now and saying he doesn't act or talk or act like he even wants to win games anymore. He's just they think he's really not in it. I saw his press conference after the game, and he said, "You know what? Nothing's going to change. We're going to practice the same way. Blah blah blah," like they always say. But Green Bay did not look good. Aaron Rodgers did not look good at all. And I know this will piss a lot of people off, but I thoroughly enjoyed that game.
Me too.
Well, and then he's got, you know, there's a little bit of a Twitter battle or something going on between him and his former tight end, Jermichael Finley.
Yeah, I just was reading up on that.
And, you know, different players have been trying to explain that, nobody seems to understand what's going on there. But, yeah, I think Finley had said something to the effect that you could see in Rodgers' eyes that he wasn't prepared and mm-hmm. wasn't locked in. And then, of course, after the game, Rodgers was talking about how, you know, this is one game, we still got 16 to go. But, boy, if they get spanked again this week, well, and they're playing the Lions, I think. Is that who they got?
I am not sure.
Detroit at Green Bay on Monday night.
I would be laughing if Detroit came in.
Well, I'm pulling for Detroit.
I will pull Detroit.
Absolutely.
But no, it's like watching that game against the Saints, 38-3, and I watched Aaron Rodgers perform, and it was horrible. Interception. He'd get off the field and just kind of sit there and just kind of smirk, and like he just didn't really care. I know he's done after the season. He's going to go somewhere else.
By the way, Lions and Packers play Monday night.
Yeah. Well, Winston looked like an all-pro for the Saints. I don't know, did he have 5 touchdowns?
Yes, and a 50-yard throw. It was the first time. I think they were saying something compared to Drew Brees. Had like 9,000-some yards and attempts, and it's the first time a quarterback had a 50-yard touchdown.
Well, Winston was always going to have that gun of an arm, and he had that big buildup. Was he in Tampa Bay before? I think that's where he started out as he was drafted by them. And he had one, like, pretty decent season and then kind of injuries and didn't quite measure up. But, you know, new life in a new city and having a guy like Drew Brees mentoring him is kind of what I understood what the take was from the week.
Yeah, and if you're going to go new life, new city, how about Teddy Bridgewater?
Oh, I was just going to bring that up.
Looked great.
Yes, he did.
Broken leg, might have to amputate the leg, blah, blah, blah. And now, I mean, good for him.
For him going from Minnesota to, I think he went to the Jets and then the Panthers and then.
Well, he was in the Saints.
And then Panthers was his last team. He didn't really do good. And then coming to Denver and showing how he could play.
Well, I was kind of shocked when they named him the starter out there.
Yeah, I was too. I thought he was just a good backup.
And you know, when he was the backup in New Orleans, he actually ended up winning like 6 or 7 games in a row in mm-hmm. place of Breeze.
Yep.
And that kind of rejuvenated his career. And that's why he was able to get a contract from the Jets.
Yep.
But that's, you know, the Jets. Come on. They're right now just about as bad as the Lions.
Yeah. and they always have been.
Well, and then on top of that, the Jets brought in some free agents, and didn't all those guys get hurt?
Like, yep, you know, right away.
So the Jets are like probably the most injured team in football right now.
But I still think any of those teams will beat the Packers.
That's great to hear Bridgewater's turning around. I'll never forget when he had that horrible training camp injury with the Vikings. That was just so sad.
I mean, they were actually talking about possibly amputating his lower leg. That's how bad that was, because when you break your leg like that, a lot of other things besides the bones get injured. You've got blood vessels, you've got nerves, you've got all of this stuff, and then the blood supply gets cut off to the rest of the limb, and well, basically it dies. And it will keep spreading, you know, up the body, so they thought, gosh, we might have to amputate his leg. And how about that? A year later, the guy's playing again.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. They didn't think he'd ever play again. And, you know, the Vikes did keep him around long enough to put him back on the field and at least have that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, kudos to the guy for sticking around. And now he's a starter in Denver. And who knows, you know, we're probably going to see him in the playoffs.
Yeah. I think there's a good chance they'll make the playoffs.
Even, like, going back to, like, the leg injury, look at last season. Alex Smith came back and returned. He had that major, like, leg injury.
Oh, that was bad.
It kind of reminded me of, like, the Theismann injury.
Yeah.
He came back and...
I was happy to see him back, but then, unfortunately, the line for Washington didn't do him any favors. His return game, he was against a very highly rated defense, and, like, he just barely managed to finish the season, and he was too banged up to make it into the playoffs. I was just happy to see him back, and I think he got comeback player of the year last year.
Yeah.
He did.
Yep.
And I don't know, they had a deal on ESPN about his comeback and his recovery, and they showed him in the hospital, they showed him going to physical therapy, and I'm not kidding you, that leg looked ridiculously bad. It was bad. I mean, it would curdle your stomach watching, and I watched it numerous times, and it's just like, oh my gosh, you know, there's got to be people just wincing, puking, crying watching this show. But that just shows you how tough that guy was too, and to get comeback player of the year, it was well deserved.
Yeah, now he's an analyst. Even Drew Brees, I saw Drew Brees do an analyst last week, and I was like, God, it's so weird seeing him be an analyst instead of a quarterback.
Well, you know, and Alex Smith was one of those guys that I've always liked him as a quarterback.
Yep.
I mean, when he was healthy, wherever he was, he played pretty well. You know, his first starting gig, I think, was a 49ers.
Yep.
And then he ends up getting hurt there, and they bring in Mr. Kaepernick. I mean,
oh boy,
isn't that
a
dirty word there? Or what?
Yeah, it is.
He had a bit of a raw deal with San Francisco. I mean, the way he got a concussion 1 week, so he sat out a week, but that was Kaepernick's big breakout game on Monday. I think it was a Monday Night Football game. I want to say against the Bears, and I remember at the end of that game, Kaepernick was just so lights out that I'm like, and I think it was within a day that Harbaugh was like, "Yep, we're going with Kaepernick for the rest of the season," and Smith got traded to the Chiefs, and I thought he had a good run with the Chiefs, but his curse was always in the postseason. He never really had much postseason success. But the regular season, I was glad he kind of turned it around and kind of validated his career over there.
Well, yeah, and when he was, because that concussion, I remember that pretty well because I liked him as the 49ers quarterback. And Kaepernick, I thought the difference was because Alex Smith's more of a pocket passer, and Kaepernick had this running ability.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the difference? And then when he got that starting job and they got to the Super Bowl and lost, right, again, the brothers against brothers coaching and the lights went out in the stadium and all that, right?
Yes.
But Kaepernick, the running part of his game, like, tailed off, like, rather quickly.
Yeah, it was like within a couple of years. I don't know if injuries got to him or if the coaches were like, you got to cut this out and think about longevity. But by the end of his like 5 years with the Niners, by the last year, he was like losing the starting position halfway through the season to Blaine Gabbert.
Well, I thought maybe his legs had just gotten weak and that's why he fell down to the knee.
Bum, bum, bum.
Well, there you go. That's all I got. College football. We got a couple big games this week. Alabama at Florida. Number one Alabama at number 11 Florida. Anybody giving the Gators a chance?
I will.
You will? Oh, nope. Well, you're the guy.
Look at last week, Georgia, Clemson game. I picked Georgia to win.
Oh, and by the way, when I was here 2 weeks ago, you guys were laughing at me with my college football picks, and I do believe I was right on just about every one of them. I do believe I was, and you guys were kind of laughing at me.
Well, you were dishing the Florida teams.
Yeah.
and I do believe the Florida teams, did they get beat?
They did.
Okay, okay.
Notre Dame is one of your teams that's ranked here at number 12. They beat Toledo this past Saturday, 32-29. Now, who would have thought Toledo to give them a game like that?
The only thing I've ever heard in Toledo are the Mud Hens.
Exactly. or Klinger on MASH. Yeah. We're old guys. See.
We are old. MASH? What's MASH?
So number one, Alabama at number 11, Florida. And then the other big game is number 22, Auburn at number 10, Penn State. This is the third all-time meeting between those two schools. You know, you're talking the number 22 versus the number 10, so obviously Penn State probably should pull that off.
But. Let's go Auburn. I always like those underdog teams.
Well, you're lucky.
They're not going to get by Penn State.
You're the guy that picked Georgia to beat Clemson that first week of the season, and now Georgia's the number 2 ranked team in the country, and Clemson has slid quite a ways down to 6, so not all the way down. And if, in fact, the rankings right now is Alabama 1, Georgia 2, Oklahoma 3, Oregon 4, coming off that big win over Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa 5, and Iowa and Iowa State played, and people were maybe expecting an Iowa State upset there, but I didn't think so. You're talking, is Iowa State even a bowl team? I'm not sure, but
they are, but
lesser school of the two for sure.
Yeah.
Clemson 6, Texas A&M 7. Cincinnati's the big team everybody's talking mm-hmm. about. They're at 8, and a little bit of media coverage with them is wondering if they've even got a chance possibly to win the national title if things keep going their way.
Wouldn't that be something?
It'd be nice to see a different conference mm-hmm. and a different bunch
Absolutely.
Of teams. Ohio State fell down to number 4, or number 9. Penn State's 10, Florida's 11, Notre Dame's 12. UCLA, who's been looking pretty good. I was surprised when they took down my LSU team.
Mm-hmm.
And then Iowa State's 14, Virginia Tech 15. Coastal Carolina is number 16, and they've been looking pretty sharp. They've had a couple of national television games. And
mm-hmm.
and then you got Ole Miss at 17, Wisconsin at 18, Arizona State, Arkansas is number 20, University of North Carolina 21, Auburn is 22, BYU 23, Miami 24, and Michigan rounds it out at 25. Michigan had a big win against Washington. That was one of the big games last week of the three. It was Oregon over Ohio, Iowa over Ohio State, and Michigan over Washington. And like I said, the big games that I got this week are Alabama at Florida and Auburn at Penn State. You got anything else there, Steve?
A couple college things. I did watch last week the USC game.
And
the kicker got kicked out of the game for targeting. The penalty was called targeting.
Really? From a kicker?
Yes, from the kicker.
What did he do?
He kicked it apparently at somebody, and they thought it was, I don't know.
He got thrown, a tackle? From the kick?
From the kick.
So rather than kicking the ball up and away, he kicked it at somebody?
Yeah. And they threw the flag and said it was targeting.
How can they do that?
That's got to be a first, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Probably those former Saint refs that were part of the hitman squad, you know?
Well, so you're saying that was a USC kicker?
It was a USC kicker.
And USC was last week was ranked number 14 in the country, and Stanford was unranked, and Stanford put a smack on them 42-24.
Well, who just got fired for the coach? Wasn't that USC?
Yes, he did get fired. And then the Navy assistant coach got fired due to COVID protocol.
Oh, boy.
He didn't get his vaccination.
Oh, there you brought us around to that.
Yeah.
You know, and you look at that Ohio State-Oregon game, there was 100,000+ people in that stadium. I don't think 20 of them even had a mask on. But, boy, it doesn't seem to be an issue there.
No, you know, and that's the thing is we've had all these football stadiums packed, college football stadiums with 100,000
mm-hmm.
or so fans in the game, in the stadium. And then you got the pro stadiums that, you know, are anywhere from 40 to 60,000 mm-hmm. people. And then I've been to a number of rock and roll concerts that are jam-packed yeah. in there. And you have to wonder, you know, I don't know, I super spreader only if it's a Republican.
Yeah. There you go. Ka-dooch.
I have a couple other college things. NCAA, the Frozen Four, they have a renewal date for October 18th. It's going to be held at the Xcel Energy Center in Minneapolis. And packages include $65, as well as the Hall of Fame game that's in Nashville.
You know, one thing I've noticed about the Hall of Fame game now, Smalls, is there's a lot of people on social media since the word came out that you either got to be vaccinated or have proof of a negative test result within 72 hours, and you're going to have to wear a mask, you're going to have to do all this stuff. Have you noticed now these tickets, everybody wanted them last fall, now everybody's trying to sell them. Yep. And I'm just wondering if that has to do with these mandates. You'd almost have to assume so.
It absolutely does. I mean, even like, I think there's a Luke Bryan concert coming up.
Yeah, is that tonight?
No, that's Luke Combs tonight.
Okay,
Luke. I'll be there tonight.
Luke Combs. Luke somebody.
Those country guys all
blow to me. Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. But
cue the Hank, King of the Hill theme.
Yeah.
But there are people online selling those tickets because they don't feel comfortable now with the their own COVID health, I guess, is the deal.
You have to bring your vaccination cards to show proof that you got vaccinated.
What, to the Alaris?
No, in Nashville.
Oh, Nashville, sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think some of the folks are just getting spooked for the country concert coming up here and selling their tickets because they just don't feel safe now with the variants. And
well, they were talking this could be a record breaker.
22,000?
At the Alaris. And this could be a record breaker. And you know, I don't want to get too off kilter here, but I just look at it this way, is how healthy are you? If you are healthy, I don't worry about it. I haven't been vaccinated yet. I'm assuming I'm going to probably get forced to within the next year, which I might have to do. But you know what? If you're healthy and you know you're healthy, jeepers, don't worry about it. Don't be making out with whoever's next to you or anything like that. But, you know, it all starts with you. Healthy people seem to be doing okay, and now with vaccinated people, you just never know. You know, boosters and all that crap, but it's going to run its course. It's going to get better. Yeah, the numbers are going up again, but you'll watch. They'll go back down again.
Well, yeah, I agree.
And we've got, like, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about how the, first off, the Golden State Warriors basketball team and the Brooklyn Nets and the New York Knicks were the three squads that had to have vaccinations or separate locker rooms for the unvaccinated, and there was going to be different segregation-type deals for individuals because of the laws in New York and the laws in California. But now the players' associations are pushing back, and suddenly now the NBA players don't have to be vaccinated other than those three spots because of their own state laws. And I think you're getting the same thing in the NHL and Major League Baseball and the NFL. I know we got to push off to some more advertising here. Here we go.
Before I bring that advertising up, I just wanted to bring one more thing about college hockey. A day off has been added for the regional play.
Oh, yeah.
So if a team wins their first regional, they get a day break. The Oversight Committee said this was changed to give players an extra day of rest and for recovery time. This will also help a team if you play a later game in the regionals. So that means, you know, just like last year with UND playing twice back-to-back games, with Duluth coming in with the day off.
Without an opponent.
Yes, without an opponent. So that's going to help us a lot for playoffs.
Well, and before you go into the advertising here, also along that same line, the UND Hockey this week had their Dryland Ironman competition.
Yeah, Jake Sanderson.
There you go. Jake Sanderson followed up with Ethan Frisch, Connor Ford, Judd Caulfield, and Jake Schmaltz.
We're going to do this advertising quick for our sponsors, for First Class Mortgage, Jason Elke. Today's show is brought to you by First Class Mortgage of Grand Forks and Jason Elke. He understands that each customer is special and individual attention is necessary to satisfy each unique financial situation. Mortgage loan programs include FHA loans, VA financing, conventional loans, jumbo loans, first-time home buyer loans, and many more. So for all your mortgage needs, contact Jason Elke at 701-775-3288 or Jason Elke at firstclasscorp.com or stop by at 2750 17th Avenue South, Suite A in Grand Forks.
Were you talking hockey when I walked away there for a minute?
Yes. We were.
The only thing I care about right now in hockey is the NHL's Minnesota North Stars signing Krill the Thrill. They got to get him back. It sounds like it's all in the works. He turned down the Russian Hockey League, which has a cap of only like $1 million a year or something. So he knows he can get way bigger money here. So let's see if Kasprisov can get signed with the Minnesota Wild.
I know he's a fan favorite.
He won the Rookie of the Year. I mean, he's a leading scorer. He didn't start till actually a little bit late into the season, so he was already behind the eight ball. But, man, I tell you what, if you're a hockey fan and you're a fan of the Minnesota Wild, it doesn't matter if you're a fan of the Wild, but watch this guy because he is something. We're going to be reading about him and hearing about him a lot.
And I know I brought this up last week with Zach Parise signing with the Islanders, so that's going to be nice. I did do some research on Travis Zajac, and he's still a free agent right now, but I would love to see him sign with the Islanders.
Well, he played with them last season, right?
Yes.
It was him and Brock Nelson on that team, and they were a playoff team, and then Ad Parise and Lou Lamoriello was there. This kid for the Wild, though, they drafted him like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, he stuck it out in the Russian league.
Well, he was under contract. And they've been trying to get him over here ever since they drafted him, right?
Yep.
And he did show up mid-season or so last year.
Yeah, he had a one-year contract. He came up and played, and the contract's up. But the Russian league has already started, I believe. And he turned him down, the KLM or whatever the league is over there. And he turned them down. I know there's been talks for the last 2 weeks that they are like this close to having a deal done with him. But that, I tell you what, that kid is going to make a lot of money as long as he can stay healthy, because he is the real deal. He is a great hockey player.
So the Wild have their Alex Ovechkin?
Or Marian Gaborik?
Yeah, or Marian Gaborik. He probably a little bit more his style because he's not a big guy. Ovechkin, let's face it, he's not afraid to pound with anybody. And he'll do it all game long. And you look at him, I mean, his hair is gray now. Yeah. I remember watching him. I actually met him at the World Junior Tournament here. I was working that tournament. I met him. I met Crosby. I met all of these guys. I mean, all the who's who of the NHL now was at that World Junior Tournament here at the Ralph Engelstad Arena and in Thief River. But, boy, they have had a great career. And he never slows down. It's just like he just keeps on going.
Well, and getting that first Stanley Cup, you know, has kind of got the monkey off his back.
Sure.
And he can enjoy himself more when he's playing now instead of the pressure of, they had some early playoff exits in his career.
Yeah, they did.
And that, you know, it was like shocking sometimes. Always liked Ovechkin's play. And of course, with Oshie playing beside him or on the same team, that was another reason to follow that squad.
I could watch Oshie play all day long, every day. He's the kind of player that a coach absolutely wants.
You know, and he had opportunities to sign elsewhere, you know, this season, and he made it clear that he wanted to stay in Washington.
Well, he was worried about getting shipped out to Seattle. You know, I don't think he wanted to be a Kraken. You know, now if you look at what the NHL has done with their new teams, I mean, look what happened out in Vegas. I mean, an expansion team isn't supposed to go to the playoffs or at least the finals. An expansion team is always supposed to suck for a couple of years. That's the way it's been, no matter what sports history you're looking at. But they did this whole thing with the Las Vegas Golden Knights, and all of a sudden, well, they had a whole team of second liners. You think about that. You run four lines, three sets of defensemen. They've got a whole team of second liners because everybody protected their first liners. These guys were up for grabs. any coach would want a whole team of second liners, and they had to tweak things a little bit. I'm glad they did. I'm not saying I want Seattle to suck this year, but I am saying that they should not be a winning team and make it that far into the playoffs. It's just not the way it's supposed to go.
Well, wasn't a big part of that team the goalie too, though?
Yeah,
his name is escaping. Fleury.
Fleury.
Yeah, Fleury. Theo yep. Fleury. I mean, you're talking
Marc-Andre Fleury.
Oh, yeah. Marc-Andre Fleury. Yep. So you're talking like a all-time great goalie, though, and he was standing on his head most of the season for them. And I had a lot of friends out there that were going to those games, and I was like, yeah, expansion teams aren't supposed to win the championship, and they did finally turn into a pumpkin in the final.
They did.
That was Ovechkin's team, and mm-hmm. it wasn't 4-1, I think was the, but they rolled on everybody else to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Dale, did you watch any of that?
I kept up with it. I didn't see it, but I was surprised. I was looking at the playoff results, thinking the exact same thing as you guys. Like, wow, first year team this much postseason success. That's pretty abnormal.
And then, you know, you have North Dakota fans that do not have a team to root for. And a lot of them jumped on the Vegas bandwagon. They really did. It's like, that's what I can't figure out around here because, okay, I'm a Minnesotan, born and raised, still live there. Of course, I'm going to love the Vikings. I'm going to love the Wild. I'm going to love the Twins. I'm going to love, you know, I don't know about the Timberwolves. They're just always going to be brutal. But I've been to a few of their games. But people here, what I can't figure out is how they'd rather root for teams like Green Bay. Or we have a lot of Winnipeg Jet fans here, which I guess I get, even though it is in a different country. I don't know why these North Dakotans don't jump on the Minnesota bandwagon like Minnesotans do. There, I said my piece. I'm going to piss a lot of people off, but I think it just comes down to the fact that I really hate Green Bay.
Well, ditto. So Minnesota, one of the things I saw this week was the Stephen Argyle coach.
Yeah, Krolik.
He'll
get his, he's going to get his due tomorrow at the Fighting Hawks football game. That dude, his overall winning record, it was like 900 and some and 11 or something like that. It was really close to those numbers.
Yeah, I think he had 12 losses or something like that.
Yeah, they went 7 seasons without losing a game, and that's also the playoffs.
Now, that's 9-man football in northwest Minnesota, and I remember that when that team was rolling like that.
Mm-hmm.
And those boys from up in that area of the country are some tough, tough kids.
They are. Farm kids, you know, hardworking kids.
Yeah, and it's the same families over and over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I forget some of those, Treblinka, I think was.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you go up there, the names are really long.
Yeah, well,
they're very long.
They have nicknames.
Yeah, there's a lot of, not vowels in there, but yeah, there's a lot. They've got some, well, they're Polish.
Yeah, I tried to get up to snuff a little bit on the Northwest Minnesota football. I've been having a little trouble trying to figure out what Crookston and Thief River have been up to, but... high school hockey, we got to talk about Red River and Central. They're both 1-2. Central is playing at Fargo North tonight, and then Red River has got Fargo South at home. Red River 1-2, and Fargo South is 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
Central is playing Fargo North, who got beat last week, but they started out 2-0, and they were a big surprise mm-hmm. in this division they're in. And they're not the top division. They're like the Central and Red River School are there, that notch below. So that should be a good game, Central at Fargo North. And I was going to ask you guys, last week Central beat Wahpeton
mm-hmm.
to get their first win, and they have this kid named Jack Simmers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was curious to know if anybody knew if he was related to the Simmers that used to play for the NDSU Bison from up here.
That's a good question because his older sister, Savannah, actually does a podcast on GFBS. She is with Probitas Promotions.
Ah.
But I know I saw a social... She reached out on social media congratulating her younger brother.
Oh.
So I don't know if they're from around here or not, but she's one of the owners of Probitas Promotions. So... I know a sister. That's about it.
Well, and it comes quick because there was, you know, back in, I believe, the 80s, the Simmers brothers played for the Bison.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also had that Simmers metal manufacturing company. They've since sold it, but it used to be along old Highway 81 north of Fargo there. And those guys were some pretty wild guys. They mm-hmm. like to hit their suds.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of, But there, that's how I wondered when I saw the name, though. Jack Simmers had the big game last week for Central. And so shout out to him. As we're talking about Central, and Bob McWilliams was supposed to be our guest analyst today, and we were talking about knee injuries with Teddy Bridgewater. His daughter, Stephanie, who was a stellar basketball player for Central, went and played for the University of Minnesota Crookston when she came out of high school, tore her knee up, and has had four or five surgeries on that knee. Just the other day, they found out in some of the grafting, a screw was loose and infected, so she's going to have to go under the knife again. Oh, and they're pretty concerned about her health, because the last time around, she had a staph infection.
Yeah.
Well, wishing her the best, and the McWilliams family, as they're going through that again.
And, you know, being a veteran of four knee surgeries myself, I mean, you know how it goes. Not a good thing. Hopefully they get that taken care of soon.
And she's a young lady yet. I don't think she's 25 years old.
No.
And you're looking at the fifth or sixth knee surgery. That's a pretty rough deal. So hoping things go well there. Touching on the rest of the FCS, you know, we've got, like I say, Drake at UND and NDSU. I didn't happen to see who their opponent was. I guess they're on the road this week.
Probably another no-name team.
Yeah, I think they're playing Concordia or Morehead State or
Northern,
something like that. I was going to say Valley City State, but I don't want to piss off BT. And my buddy that used to coach over at East Side there, Mr. Nelson, which, by the way, state championship coach. Hats off to you, Bruce. But, yeah, I don't even know who the Bison play. I'm guessing it'll be on TV, though. They always are, which I hate.
Looks like they are playing Towson.
Towson State.
Well, now, we don't know about Towson State, but they're out of Pennsylvania.
They're 1-1.
And they were a Division II power back when we were all Division schools. I don't know if they did
back in the NCC days.
I don't know if they did the transition up or not. So I really don't know.
I'm guessing not.
So they're going to play another lower notch opponent
to
kick it off.
And their stadium is called the Johnny Unitas Stadium.
Oh.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah.
Johnny U, did he play for Townsend State? I guess I don't know.
Well, he was a great one.
I'm not a big fan of the Bison, but I hope that's an upset. It's just like Green Bay. Like, I don't like Green Bay. Just like John says, we're just not Packer fans.
And you know, the only reason, and I'm going to be the first to admit, I don't like the Bison, but I root for them. I've rooted for them for years because I know they get all the national TV coverage. I know one of these years, and I'm thinking it could be next week, that UND is going to beat the Bison, and that is going to put UND on this map and maybe bump them down a little bit, which I think it's about time that happened. But that is the only reason that I do root for NDSU, because it just brings more attention to North Dakota college football. And I know the Fighting Hawks are going to beat them soon, and I just think that's going to put us way up on the map instead of right here on the map. It's going to put us up there on the map, and it's coming. So I do kind of root for the Bison when it gets down to the play. Although I will admit, I wanted South Dakota to beat them last year in the playoffs. But it's always good because it just brings more attention to the state of North Dakota.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm all about having that North Dakota representation. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, with you a little bit, I'm almost like, yeah, I don't really want to root for NDSU, but just seeing it, like, NDSU or just North Dakota teams do good in the postseason. And I remember even just going back way back to the Subway Bison Nickel game. Mm-hmm. those were good times. You know, all right, UND won. Let's wait in line for our free sub at Subway.
Yeah, I wish the NCC D2 was still around. I thought that was just great, great sports back then. But everything changes.
Well, I think the past season, you know, everybody, when we had Bill in here the last couple of weeks ago or so, and talking UND football, and he's always so in-depth at it, but he talked about how surprised he was that in the spring season they played so well against South Dakota State and South Dakota and then Southern Illinois, and I was too. I think that the last couple of recruiting years for Bubba have brought them up a notch in their talent level, and you're right, eventually, if not this coming October 2nd, UND is going to beat NDSU at some point, and there is going to be a turn.
Yes.
You know, for every team. I don't care how dominant you are in any sport. At some point, you get yours.
Yep. And, you know, let's face it, Bubba, since he took over the reins here at UND, he has had a lot of injuries. Oh. I mean, the injuries just keep piling up and piling up. And you wonder, jeepers, you know, because I love Bubba. I think he's a great guy. I think he's a great coach. And maybe this will be the year. Maybe everybody can stay healthy. Maybe everybody can, everything will just follow the way that they all hope it does and the way we all hope it will.
Well, and a lot of the injuries have been to his quarterbacks mm-hmm. and his skill positions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously those are the first line guys that you can't lose. But then he's also, I think, at this Utah State game, one of their linebackers went down.
I think you're right, yeah.
And it was a guy that actually had been injured previously and missed a fifth-year mm-hmm. student. And now that he may be out for the season, and Bill and I were discussing whether or not the guy would come back for a sixth year, you know.
He can if the NCAA allows it. I mean, if he didn't get enough playing time, he can take another red shirt.
Well, I believe the player's first name is Jackson. He's a linebacker. I can't recall his last name. I should know, but you can't know everything.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't touched on the NBA yet.
I'm sorry. I have to go.
I just saw a couple of the quotes on there. I'm not going to read the one before that, but John's feeling mutual with me, and Robert's over here saying that he can't stand Green Bay. And NDSU will be in Towson, Maryland.
Yeah, well, Maryland, yeah, I always get that mixed up because it's so right next to Pennsylvania, and when I fly out to visit my uncle, we fly into Baltimore to drive over there. So, yeah, Towson is in Maryland, you're right.
I know you, we were talking before the show that since we're moving to NBA, I know you had something that you despise that someone's kind of copying somebody else's wardrobe from the NFL?
Yes. So the big news in the NBA this week, and probably the biggest story, was Russell Westbrook wearing a dress. And you know, apparently fashion companies or artists in fashion are pushing the man dress, skirt, purse type clothing lines. And some of these people are latching onto it. But what I saw was an interesting response by a former NBA player, Kwame Brown. Yep. And Kwame Brown was driving along with his own little phone coverage of himself, talking about how he himself had transsexual and gay family members, cousins, both women and men. And he said, heterosexual men don't wear dresses. Heterosexual men that are wearing dresses aren't really heterosexual men, is what he was saying. And he was said, this doesn't happen in my hood or where I come from. Heterosexual men don't wear dresses. And he was like talking Compton or Crenshaw in California, and that he said that doesn't happen. Yes, homosexual and transsexual men do, but not heterosexual men. So he was questioning Russell Westbrook's sexuality.
I just looked up this picture of it, and
you're going to rush out and get one of those outfits, are you?
No, thank you. I mean, it kind of looks like a kilt, but it's, I don't know, it's kind of weird, like you're wearing a cashmere sweater with like a skirt.
Yeah, the cashmere sweater is a little dainty too, isn't
it? Yes.
So that was my thing was, and that's one of the friends come up with, well, they wear skirts and or kilts in Scotland, and I was like, that's a cultural thing. And it's much like a breech cloth for a Native American. It's not a dress. It's a kilt. When you're all out wearing women's fashions, that's a whole other thing as a heterosexual male. Good luck to you, Russell Westbrook. Continue to wear that if you'd like.
And just looking at this picture here, his hair is blue. So
yeah,
Dennis Rodman.
Well, and the thing with, like I said, this Kwame Brown thing was, he said, and he doesn't believe this is the first time what Russell Westbrook's wore a dress. And I don't want to beat that any more than I already have, but I had to touch on that. There are some actual NBA stories to hit on this. One of the big ones is Steve Ballmer, the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers, is building his own stadium. He bought the old Forum, the Great Western Forum site where the Lakers used to play. And I didn't realize it, but my Nick owner, James Dolan, owned that property. sold it to Steve Ballmer, and he's going to build a new $2 billion basketball stadium so they have their own home. They can quit sharing Staples Center with the Lakers, and they're going to call it the Intuit Dome.
Intuit, yep.
Oh, wow.
So that's and good for them, because that sharing an arena with the Lakers, they were always going to be the bastard stepchild in that place. You know, Lakers have all those championship banners, and they have nothing. And I always said that the Clippers were like a cursed franchise. Their history, they started out as the Buffalo Braves. They moved to San Diego and were the San Diego Clippers, thus the ship name, the Clippers. And then their move to Los Angeles, they probably should have changed their name, much like a lot of sports franchises when they leave the locale that had that type of name. But ever since they left Buffalo, that franchise has been pretty cursed.
I remember for the longest time, they were, well, it was like many years without any postseason appearances or at least past the first round. Yeah, no luck.
And in fact, in their history, the first time they made the playoffs, Bill Fitch was their head coach. And Bill Fitch, of course, was Phil Jackson's coach here at UND. And that would tell you a little bit about what a great coach Bill Fitch was to be able to take that bottom-dwelling team and get them into at least the first round of the playoffs. The other NBA action going on was the Denver Nuggets signed Aaron Gordon to an astronomical deal, like 4 years for $92 million.
That's what I was saying, 92.
Contract extension, $88 million base salary, and then $4 million in incentives.
See, I didn't know about Aaron Gordon going to the Nuggets. Like, read that, I was like, wasn't he playing for the Magic?
Yeah,
and I just don't remember him getting traded or hearing anything about it.
Yeah, he got traded trade deadline last season to Denver. A lot of teams were vying for him, and fortunately for Denver, they did make that move, because then their star point guard, I think his name is Murray, I'm not positive.
Yeah, I can't think of his name, but
he got injured, like ACL injury, and so they had to have somebody to pick up the scoring slack to go with the Joker. And it was Aaron Gordon. And then the other deal is the Houston Rockets are trying to move John Wall and his contract, and the two parties have agreed to work together to try to ship him somewhere. But you have to wonder, as a team receiving a guy like that, these guys are trying to jettison him, and they're trying to help jettison him to wherever. What do they know that they're not letting on? Is there some injury in the background? Of course, they got to pass a physical and all that. And John Wall is a pretty good talent. He's another Kentucky Wildcat, one of those one or two and done type guys out of there. But I don't know.
No Lakers, I was telling you, no Lakers.
Well, the Lakers have signed every rocking chair player there is, haven't they?
Yeah,
I mean, I don't like, we've talked about them, Dale, over the last several weeks about how we don't expect these guys to hold up for the entire season, especially with Russell Westbrook as their point guard running as hard as he does up and down the court, dragging those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
I see injuries happening. And what's your take on that?
Yeah, I really haven't had a chance to really keep up with the NBA too much this year, unfortunately, but the Lakers, they still have LeBron, maybe? I'm sorry, I'm so out of touch with the NBA.
Well, it's LeBron and Anthony Davis are the two pillars of the team, but they picked up Carmelo Anthony, they picked up
Dwight Howard.
There's another center there, too. Another old center. Well, then Russell Westbrook, of course. Rajon Rondo, they re-signed him. DeAndre Jordan, they brought him in. And we're talking, you know, guys that are in their mid-30s and have had injuries. And I don't know, you know, they got rid of all the young guys on that squad. And even Russell Westbrook's got to be over 30 years old. So to expect that LeBron James is going to come through and play a whole season and average 30 points a game or 25 to 30 points a game like he has, and we already know Anthony Davis can hardly play a whole season. That was their big deal, was he got hurt last year again. And I just see a whole bunch of medical problems on that team.
Yeah, yeah. It makes it sound like they won't be able to keep up with his tempo there. Yeah, exactly. They'll catch up with him.
Because he pushes the ball as hard as any player in the league, and then they're going to have to stay with him. Mm-hmm. And I just see that – they think they're a fast-breaking team, but there's never been a fast-breaking team of that age in the NBA history. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know.
You know how they have all those advertisements on their jerseys? I got a perfect advertisement for the Lakers jerseys. The Lakers are sponsored by Aleve.
Yeah, there you go. You're onto something.
Yeah.
Aleve or you know, maybe some
bio. I know there's one that had like BioFreeze as one of their sponsors. Bengay would be a good sponsor for them too.
Yeah, it's taken some getting used to still seeing the sponsorships on the jerseys now for like the last couple years.
They're trying to get the hockey to get advertisements on their jerseys. I don't think they should. I mean, yes, you're probably getting paid pretty good money for that, but leave the jerseys alone. Come on.
Because for the longest time, I always thought it was just like a soccer thing. And now it seems like it's getting more and more crossing over into other sports.
Well, and that's going to carry along like in the college sports, I think, with the naming imaging license that we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. We got a team, Idaho football team, that's being sponsored by a protein bar company, and they're paying like the tuition for like 105 players on the team. And then there's
The Florida State Panthers are sponsoring all female athletes for a Florida college team, like Florida Central or something like that, like sponsoring all female athletes.
Yeah, on one campus.
I want to say, isn't there like a MLS soccer team that has like the name of the team is the sponsor? Isn't like the Xbox team or something like that? Or maybe I'm getting mixed up. But I know in F1 they got the Red Bull Racing team, and that's like, I'm like, okay. I mean, Red Bull has a lot of money. I guess they can afford it. And yeah.
And we also had like the Florida Panthers are endorsing Miami's quarterback, the University of Miami's quarterback. So the hockey team is endorsing him.
There's another athlete that's getting sponsored by an alcohol company.
Yeah, and it's exploding. There's a University of Nebraska volleyball player, a female volleyball player who's got like 75,000 followers on Instagram, and so this clothing company has signed her to an endorsement, and some jewelry store also. But we're getting college athletes all over the country that have any kind of social media following of any substance are getting endorsement deals from who knows what company. And that's why we're talking about eventually Crystal Sugar or Shields.
Even Rydell's.
Rydell's. Any of these companies are going to start endorsing some of our local college athletes. So they're going to be making more money than they would once they – well, the deal is that they're never going to be as popular – as they are right now playing their college sport, because you know, like less than 2%, 1% end up being professionals in some avenue of sport one way or the other. And so over the years, there's just been an astronomical amount of athletes that had a popularity that only had in college. Mm-hmm. And you got some more advertising.
Speaking of ads, we'll go into our next sponsor. It's the Southtown Poorhouse. Every day is a great day at Southtown Poorhouse. Stop in for your favorite drinks and, of course, happy hour, half price apps and taps every day from 4 to 6. And you can't forget about Buck Burgers on Tuesdays and the awesome steak specials on Thursdays at 6. And make sure to check out the Southtown Poorhouse events page to find out when your favorite band is playing. Like tonight is Sushi Roll, and tomorrow will be Aaron Simmons. Every day is a great day at the Southtown Poorhouse, located at 2015 Library Circle next to the Grand Cities Mall, open Tuesday through Saturday from 4 p.m. to 2 a.m.
And this is a band that you've heard in the past?
Yeah, tonight's band is Sushi Roll. They're pretty good. They kind of play a mix of the 80s, 90s stuff, have their own little thing. Pretty cool show they have.
He says 80s, and he gives me that look.
No, hey, I was born in the 80s. Well, I can't go wrong with that music, you know.
If you say 80s and 90s, I'm all for it.
Oh, yeah, like, and they kind of dress up. I think the bass player or guitar player dresses up as, like, a prince. He has, like, the prince outfit. The drummer wears, like, a Lucha Libre mask on, and, like, it's just really cool. Like, their entertainment's pretty cool.
So, we got any more sports topics we can hit on?
Dale, do you have anything you want to talk about? NFL schedules, anything?
Well, I guess a kind of schedule-related thing. I guess one thing I kind of looked up, I kind of curious that kind of caught my eye was how, like, I was kind of looking when the NHL season is set to start, and I was looking at their new TV slate because it got a big new TV deal package going into this season, and it's like the first time they're going to be NHL games on ESPN since before the whole season lockout in 2004. So I thought that was kind of
I remember watching as a kid, watching all the hockey, and then they had that little halo light on the puck so you could follow it. Oh, I miss those days.
Because it used to be ESPN National Hockey Night, I think. Yeah, and I was kind of looking up when the season starts. Like, it's, they got a pretty good October 12th doubleheader to start it off with the Stanley Cup champs, Lightning, defending against going up against the Penguins, and then right after that, you got the two expansion teams, the Kraken and the Golden Knights there. So that's some pretty intriguing matchups. And then I guess like they're spreading the games on ESPN, ESPN Plus, and Hulu some same day, and some like the streaming services are getting exclusive games too throughout the season. So, and then TNT is going to be getting games on Wednesday nights too. So I was kind of curious if you guys thoughts on that.
TNT, I know that TNT was mainly for basketball, you know, and I know like college basketball too, they would air like the March Madness, but you've seen an NHL game, that's going to be kind of cool to be watching and see what they got.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that's interesting to know that they're going to be having all the extensive hockey coverage, and that should do wonders for their game because they've kind of been in the backseat as far as pro athlete salaries and whatnot because of the lack of coverage, because a lot of the money that comes into pro sports is television advertising for sure. And I don't know if the NHL has got the revenue sharing type agreement like the NBA and some of the baseball has to, where they actually share the big markets with the smaller markets to keep them afloat. But yeah, that'd be great. And it's interesting to know that. Steve, anything else over there?
Oh, just looking forward to football season. And you know, did you say you had a schedule for this week's games?
Yeah.
We can run through them and do some picks.
Absolutely. Oh, yes. Well, the Thursday night game yesterday was the Washington beat the Giants 30-29. But going forward with this Sunday, got the Vikings at Arizona.
Taking Arizona on that one. I'm sorry, I'm a Vikings fan, but
well, I think the Vikes got to get a win and start out 1-1 and perhaps be in first place in that division if Detroit can. Well, there's going to be a 1-1 team no matter what.
Yeah, I'm with the Vikes. They got to redeem themselves from that overtime game there. Then next they got the Falcons at the Buccaneers.
I'm gonna have to go with the Buccaneers.
Yep, Buccaneers.
Yep, and then we have. There's Titans, Steve, at Seattle.
I won't discuss that. I already know who's going to pick that, but I'll still root for my team, but I know which way it's going to go.
That's a tough one on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll give you some morale support with the Titans, Steve, there. And then we have the Cowboys at the Chargers.
I'm going with L.A. Justin Herbert, the quarterback for the Chargers, is doing pretty good.
Well, much like John was with the Packers, I want the Cowboys to lose every game.
That's how I was just gonna say that. I was like, I'm not a Cowboys fan. I know. I have some friends that are gonna are Cowboys fans, and they're probably gonna be get mad at me. But oh well, I despise the Cowboys and the Packers.
There you go.
All right. Next up is the Broncos at the Jaguars.
Broncos.
I don't know. That's pretty tough because I thought Jaguars were not going to be a good team, but they came up and won last week. I'm going to pick the Jaguars this week.
Yeah, I'm just hoping Teddy can get another win and start out 2-0, and maybe Denver can launch themselves off of that.
Yeah, I'm with you. That'd be a good feel-good story for Teddy. I'll go for Denver. And then we have the Buffalo Bills at Miami.
Ooh, Miami was pretty good last week. I'm going to have to go with Buffalo. Turn that game around, and because Buffalo had a pretty tough game against the Steelers last week, so I'm taking Buffalo.
Yeah, I'm with Buffalo also.
I'll make it a three-peat for Buffalo. All right, and then we have the Niners at Philadelphia Eagles.
I'm going with the Niners.
I'm going with the Eagles.
I like the Niners, but I'm feeling pretty good. Garoppolo looked pretty healthy, so that's a positive for me. So I'm just going to ride that momentum and go with them. Then we have L.A. at Indianapolis Colts.
The Rams and the Colts?
Yep, Rams and the Colts, yep.
I'm taking the Rams. They looked pretty solid last Sunday night, so.
Yeah, I got the Rams, too.
Yeah, I'll go with the Colts. All right, and then we have the Las Vegas Raiders. Still getting used to saying Las Vegas Raiders at the Steelers.
Pittsburgh.
I'm going to go with the Raiders.
No, I think Pittsburgh at home.
Yeah, I mean, I'm feeling the Raiders on that one. All right, then we have Bengals at Chicago Bears.
I'm going with the Bengals.
Well, the Bengals, it would be nice to see them start out 2-0. You know, both those Ohio teams have been in the toilet for so long. Every time they start to get something going there, it seems like they take two steps backwards.
You said it was the Bengals and who?
And the Bears. Oh, yep, going against the Bears. Yep.
Yeah, well, of course, we want the Bears to lose.
yes. Yeah. I'll root for the Bengals then, too, yeah. All right, then we have the Houston Texans at the Cleveland Browns.
I'm taking Cleveland. Baker Mayfield looked pretty solid. The running game, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt were doing pretty good.
Yeah, I'm going with Cleveland also. You know, it seems like those two teams, the Cincinnati and Cleveland, when they do seem to get good, it's at the same time usually, and then like I say, they go backwards for a season or two.
Yeah, you convinced me. I think I will go with the Browns as well. All right, for our Sunday night game on NBC, we have the Chiefs at the Baltimore Ravens.
I'm going with Chiefs.
Baltimore. That's a great game because you got the two superstar young, like Lamar Jackson and Mahomes, and that should be a really good game.
Yeah, I'm thinking, just ride that Mahomes momentum there. I'm going to go with the Chiefs. Yeah, and then Monday night game is the Detroit Lions at the Green Bay Packers.
Go Lions.
Go Lions.
Yes, we'll go for the Lions. And that's the
I think
rundown.
John's been picking a lot of the same teams that we've been doing. Like, he's picked, like, Steelers, Bengals, Browns, Chiefs. But, John, who do you take in Green Bay or the Lions? What I wanted to bring up, too, and I also got to do a trivia question towards the end of the show.
We do.
But talking about football, so I have a fantasy league. And I was watching football last Sunday, and one of my leagues, one guy, I was like, look, I'm willing to trade Aaron Rodgers for a wide receiver or running back. This guy reaches out to me in my league, and he needs a running back. So I was like, okay. He's like, this is the worst trade ever, but I got the best end of it. I had Joe Mixon as my starter. I mean, I have tons of good running backs. He wanted Joe Mixon. Guess who he traded me for? Patrick Mahomes.
No.
Yep. So I got the good deal out of that.
That is an amazing trade.
So now I have Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, and Baker Mayfield. It's like,
so who are you playing this week?
Oh, I'm starting Patrick Mahomes, of course. Duh.
There you go.
I'm not going to put Rodgers in there.
Did you have Mahomes last week?
No, I did not have Mahomes last week. I think my...
Oh, yeah, you just got him in the trade.
I just got him in the trade. But speaking of NFL, I got an NFL trivia question for a $20 gift card to Deeks. So Tom Brady this past Thursday played his 300th game. So what I want to know, what is his overall record for his whole entire career?
Including
how many wins and losses?
Including playoffs or regular season?
Everything.
Everything.
Yep.
Why?
That's a lot of games.
Somebody's going to be Googling it out
there. Oh, yeah.
That's the one thing about trivia these days is you can have something so obscure from dinosaur.
How
era.
Many wins and losses does he have for his entire career?
So Tom Brady's overall record.
Yes.
And there may be some ties in there. Those have been happening a little bit more since they changed the overtime rules several years ago.
So we got football tomorrow for UND versus Drake. That's the Potato Bowl game, the Potato Bowl parade tomorrow morning. No, you are incorrect, John.
Well, that's hard to believe. I don't know. So
he has the losses right, but not the wins. I have to double check. Let me discount double check.
Here we go. So we had a couple of shows where we had French fries in our title, and we brought that up because there were no French fries at the French fry feed last night. I don't know. I think the excuse that Simplot used was the COVID was one of the things, and who knows? Maybe it was the crop this year. I don't know, because of the drought and all. But there were no French fries. Instead, they had hot dogs and bags of potato chips. So they were pushing the potato chip manufacturers or supply chain. Did either of you guys go to this?
I didn't get a chance to go. I had to go work my other job. I didn't have to DJ last night. I just had to do my other job. I'm a bingo caller now, so... That's an extra $50 in my pocket.
Did Dale make it over there?
I did not. I didn't make it over. I was actually rooting Steve on a bingo last night there. So I was having some dinner with the family. But the French fry feed was always almost like an annual tradition with my family there. I guess I can completely miss. I heard they're replacing fries with potato chips. That just seems almost unbelievable.
Well, actually, John, you were close. It actually was 231 wins and 69 losses for Tom Brady for his whole entire career.
Well, John, you must have a lifetime supply of Deke's Pizza by now.
Well, yeah, he has all these cards hanging there. I'm about to take him home and just, like, buy us lunch later on. So,
Well, I think maybe we just got to get him in here, and then he won't get to answer next week.
I think if he doesn't come pick these up, I'm just going to, like, take these home and get... Or no, I think I'm just going to give him to Paul here and let him have pizza and have John and the whole GFBS staff to have lunch on us. But, yeah, any plans this weekend?
Well, going to the football game. I don't know... Let's see, we've got, normally I would be doing the pancake sausage breakfast that the Rotary Club puts on at Central High School, but they've canceled that due to COVID. And then the backup would be the Sons of Norway breakfast, and they've canceled that due to COVID. And, you know, I don't know. Like I said, we were talking earlier about the concerts and the football stadiums and all of that, and just how dangerous would it be to have breakfast at Central High School?
Right.
I mean, I might even put a mask on.
Yeah, I like that. I would hit up that Sons of Norway breakfast for several years too, up until these last couple last year and this year. I was pretty bummed to hear that got canceled too. Yeah.
Any plans for you, Dale?
I know I'm meeting up with a friend tonight to get some gaming in. It's been a while since we did that, so get some old school gaming in. We're thinking and. Might try and catch a potato bowl. I always a parade because that's what Saturday morning, right?
Saturday morning, yep. Correct.
Yeah, I don't think I made it last year because of everything, and I always love the potato bowl parade.
Well, yeah, and traditionally for myself and my family was we'd do the pancake sausage breakfast at Central, and then we'd walk over and watch the parade from downtown. And just over the last 18 months, we've missed out on so many things that we're so used to doing that you think you just get back to the normalcy of having the events and whatever happens, happens. Mm-hmm. I mean, we haven't had so many deaths or illnesses in this state as compared to past years. And that's one of the whole things that the COVID argument, whatever side you land on, and I'm a vaccinated myself, but whatever side of that you land on, the overall death totals across the country, you would expect them to be astronomically different than they've been in the last 5 years, and they're not. In many instances, from state to state, they're turning up less. So this pandemic, is it or isn't it? Who knows?
That's for another show. But myself, tonight I will be at that Luke Combs concert. Checking that out. Tomorrow I'll be DJing a wedding here in town. Then Sunday I'll just be watching some football.
What about Paul over here? You got any plans?
Going to the yard.
Going to the yard. Oh, lucky you.
I already saw him have an IV of Busch Light and over there help making him survive. So, but no, I guess we're going to wrap this show up. We thank you guys for watching and commentating and everything. We'll be back here next Friday for another sports show. Thank you, Dale, for coming in. We want to thank John for coming in as well, hopping in. Thank you for it's one of those mornings.
Yeah, he stayed up late gaming.
Yes.
He said.
Thank you, Monty, for coming in, there hosting the show with us. Yeah, and make sure, Paul just said, we just got on a new thing called Rumble. So that's, you can watch us on Rumble now. So thank you, guys. Hey. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, GFBS. Yep. Till next time, we'll see you Friday night.